Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's time to go inside the locker room, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and Social Furniture. Stop by Social Furniture today and see their new sofas they just got in on Charlotte Avenue. I caught up with Predators forward Ryan Johansson yesterday after practice before the team took off to Seattle to take on the Kraken. Here was that conversation yesterday with number 92. Here with Ryan Johansson, Predators forward. Ryan, what was this weekend like with the outdoor game, the atmosphere, family in town? How did that kind of live up to what you thought it might be heading into the game?
For me, it was everything I expected. What an amazing weekend. Obviously, we all know we didn't get the result that we wanted, but just the way the whole city came together and put on a show for the world, the hockey world, it was a spectacular event. And just as a player, it was so much fun to be a part of and get the opportunity to play in that game. And just had a tremendous time and so much fun with everyone in town, everyone involved with it. And as always, super impressed with our organization, the city of Nashville, and how they can entertain and put on a show like that.
This is obviously really an emotional week for you guys last week with Pekka and the Stadium Series and all that. Mm-hmm. Knowing what you have ahead of you with the playoff race and how many games are coming up, how do you kind of rebound from that, refocus mm-hmm. from that, heading up on the road trip now?
Yeah, with so much going on last week and just all the attention those two games took up, it was actually really nice just driving in this morning and knowing it's now with 29 games left, like you said, it's our team completely dialing it in and getting ready for this playoff push. And all we need to focus on now is just taking it one game at a time and playing our game. And as much fun we had this last week, it's also nice to get back into the routine of things of a normal season and focus on us doing our thing as a club and getting results that we need.
It's been like playing with Tomasino the last few games.
Love it. Love playing with Tomer. Tremendous hockey sense, tremendous hockey IQ, and he's only going to get better. I've really liked how he's taking the opportunity right now, and he's not going out there hesitant. He's going out there and attacking the game, and he's trying to make a difference. And really, that's all you can ask for from a young player is go there and control what you control, work your butt off, but where you can stand out is where you take matters into your own hands and you try and make plays and you try and be a difference maker. And he's doing that. And as an older guy and his centerman right now, I've had a lot of fun watching him do that. And still being together, I hope we need to start really impacting games a little bit more, and that'll be our next step. But I look forward to him having that opportunity to do that.
Obviously, you've been in the league now for a long time. What's it like to have a little brother that's gotten a taste of the league so far as well with Lucas getting in there earlier this year?
It's super cool. That was a very special moment, very special day for not only me and our family and just everyone who knows Lucas and how hard he's worked and kind of the ups and downs he's had in his young career so far. It was great to see him get an opportunity, and it was even cooler to see him make the most of that opportunity and play a very strong game. And he's been having a heck of a year down there in Hershey and really taking strides with his game and setting himself up for maybe some future call-ups and things like that. And he's made his older brother very proud, that's for sure.
Well, I was going to say, I don't remember what the schedule was like. Were you able to watch that game? And if so, what's it like watching your little brother play in the NHL?
I was at home and we didn't play that night. So, and my dad actually had COVID and we were watching it together. And it was insane. I had all these emotional feelings before the game and I was super excited for him. There were definitely a few times when me and the old man jumped up off the couch and gave a few high fives he did some great things and played a very solid game for them. And so he's definitely put in the work to set himself up for some future opportunities, and he's got to keep making the most of those.
Last thing for you here, as you look at Jano, he's got 18 goals. Mm-hmm. We know what he brings to the table mm-hmm. on a nightly basis. Have you ever played with anybody quite like him in terms of the combination of speed and physicality mm-hmm. and skill that he brings to the table? He seems like a really unique player.
He's very unique. He's a very special player, and he's one of those guys you play with, and as it's gone along, you appreciate him more and more every night, and you just have this feeling of, wow, we're lucky to have this kid. Like, this guy is he's a game breaker, he's a difference maker, and I really hope the league and the hockey world keeps taking notice of him, because he deserves to be up there in that Calder race, if not in the lead, for how impactful he is on our hockey club and in all areas of the game. Penalty kill, some power play, some on the ice in the last minute when we're defending a lead, and on the ice when the last minute when we're trying to tie things up, and he does a bit of everything, and he does everything very well, and he's a great young leader as well, and he's just one of those players that you really cheer for success, and really want him to do well, because he's such a good teammate, and you know, like, really our whole room. But he's a tremendous young kid with just really an all-around whole package kind of game.
Ryan, appreciate your time.
All right, Robbie, thank you.
That was Ryan Johansson, Predators forward, yesterday after practice. Going inside the locker room, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and Social Furniture. Stop by Social Furniture today and see their new sofas they just got in on Charlotte Avenue. Interesting conversation there with Johansson. We talked about him and Tomasino playing together earlier, Joe, and he even said it in the interview there, like, it feels like they need to start driving play a little bit more and impacting the game a little bit more. Between that and some Hines comments, which I know we have people asking about on the text line, we'll get to that coming up again in the next segment as well, as to why I think the Predators may have signaled a trade yesterday that they could be looking for. But interesting to hear his comments on Tomasino there, and obviously he was pretty gushing and glowing about Tanner Jeannot and what he's brought to the table.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Ryan Johansson is a guy who's, I'd say, he trends toward positive, you know? Like, yeah. He's going to be very, very – I mean, I think he's insightful too, and he can give you a lot of good stuff, but he's typically – so it's like, you know, he gushed about – everybody's gushing about Jeannot. You know, Tomasino, I don't know, I suppose some fans probably had higher expectations, which I would call unrealistic expectations of Philip Tomasino, but that's how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, if you're, I mean, we saw it with Elie Tolvanen. I'm, you know, sure, like early Philip Forsberg, right, was kind of like, oh, well, this is supposed to be, you know, the next big thing. Eventually, you grow into it. I think it's all been encouraging with Tomasino, but when you hear from someone who plays them like that, you know, it's kind of a good reminder. I mean, you know, Tomasino does a lot of good things out there. Tomasino has got, I think, all the things that people talked about in terms of his assets are on display. It's just he's not to the point yet of being able to unleash them as much as he will in the future.
Yeah, I think some of this is just, I think, patience with his size, right? Like, he's got to get bigger. Like, that's going to be something that has to take place as they move forward here. I think we see flashes of it. I think he's played really well in some stretches. I still think he's kind of learning on the fly as well. And, you know, then the question becomes, like, all right, there's nothing wrong with learning on the fly, but do you want somebody playing in the top six that's learning on the fly? Like, with as many minutes as Johansson's line is going to get, do you want Tomasino out there for that many minutes? Like, that's something that they've got to figure out. It's not just who can play with Johansson and who gives him the best opportunity to be productive, which, again, we'll get to coming up here on the other side. But, you know, do you want Tomasino? Like, can you trust Tomasino yet with that much responsibility this early in his career? I think they're still trying to figure out the answer to that question.
Yeah, I mean, they need him. But that's the thing. There's also just, your first time through this, you've never experienced anything like this in your entire hockey career.
Right.
This many games at this level of physicality with that little space on the ice, you know, all that stuff. So there is the possibility of, the cliche, you know, rookie wall and all, you know, you want him to be, you want to have fresh legs, fresh mind in 2 months when the playoffs start. So you also have to keep that in mind.
We'll continue the conversation on the Predators. When we come back, we'll get to why I think the Preds may have hinted at a trade target yesterday. We'll get to that on the other side. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. The second half of the NBA season is here, and you could turn every Thursday into payday with NBA on TNT on FanDuel Sportsbook. And it doesn't matter if you win or lose. FanDuel is getting all customers $10 back every Thursday in site credit. Just bet a $10 or more same-game parlay on any NBA on TNT game. Same-game parlays let you combine the money line, point spread, player props, and more all into one wager. You got my beloved Miami Heat taking on the Brooklyn Nets this Thursday. Give me the Heat on the money line. Give me Tyler Hero over on points. But you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. It's the perfect way to turn a small bet into a big-time score. And win or lose, you're guaranteed to get $10 added to your account. So if you're new to FanDuel, just sign up with promo code ROB to make every moment more this NBA season. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. The Preds Foundation Wine Festival and Tasting presented by Deacon's New South returns to Bridgestone Arena coming up on Friday, March the 11th. You can sample over 285 high-end wines, enjoy delicious culinary creations from local restaurants, and bid in an extensive silent auction as well. Tickets start at $89. Visit NashvillePredators.com/wine for more information. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We heard from Ryan Johansson in the last segment offering his thoughts on the state of the team. There was an interesting conversation about Johansson yesterday and his line after practice with head coach John Hines that I think may signal what the Predators could be looking at come trade deadline time. Here's what Predators head coach John Hines had to say yesterday after practice.
What have you liked about Tomasino with Johansson?
You know, I think there's been some good and some areas that could be a little bit better. To be honest, I think Phillips played pretty well for the most part. I think that line in general can be a little bit better. So we'll see if we'll keep that combination together or not. I think some of the positives of it is I think when the line's connecting and going, I think that they are able to get some offensive looks. I think what we'd like more from that line or whoever's playing with Joey is more territory, more push, be able to play against other teams, you know, top lines. And so we think it's been good at times, and it's also been average at times. So
what's that challenge like of as a coach? You've got a line that, you know, obviously you're trying to find somebody to play with that line with Johansson. You've got two other lines with the Sissons line and Granlund's line that are going so well. The balance of not trying to mess up those two lines, but also finding other combinations that work.
You hit the nail right on the head. Yeah. It's, you know, it's something that we talk a lot about. You know, we obviously like 64's line has been very consistent. I think 10's line has been very consistent. Joey's line, I think, has been good at times, but we've also rotated his wingers around quite a bit. And, you know, trying to find it's one of the things we're trying to drill down on what would be some good combinations. And I think, you know, we've tried multiple guys there. And, you know, it's something I think we may try some different looks on this road trip to see if we can get more four-line depth going. But it's something that we do talk about as coaches with the management and try to drill down on what would be the best combinations. And I think that the challenging part has been that a lot of the combinations we've had with Joey has been good in spurts, right? But we haven't, like, those other two lines have been locked and loaded for a long time now, where Joey's has been up and around. I think Joey's is having a really good year, but trying to surround him and find a line that's really going to click, you know, has been challenging without breaking up Granlund's line and Sissons' line. But that'll be, you know, a decision we'll have to make.
That was John Hines yesterday after practice, and I took a couple of things away from that, Joe. Number one, I think it's pretty clear that they are searching for some combination with Johansson to work. I think they're very happy with the way that Ryan Johansson has played. I think you and I have talked about it. We both believe that Johansson has played well this year, but it's been a revolving door on his wing, whether that's Cunning on the right side or moving Tomasino over there to the left. I mean, they've done a lot of different things. Tolvanen's been up there. Nick Cousins was up there. They've tried a lot of different looks, and it just hasn't really generated enough 5-on-5. So I feel like they're really searching. You heard John Hines use the phrase trying to drill down on exactly what to do there. To me, I walked away from that conversation yesterday thinking to myself, like, if there's going to be a position where the Predators are going to target via trade, it's that one. Like, you've got to find somebody to play with Ryan Johansson. I mean, I think they like Philip Tomasino. I don't know about you. I kind of read Hines' answer there on that part of it is, I don't expect Tomasino to be with Johansson much longer. I think they're going to start to experiment with some other stuff there. They don't want to break up the Sissons line. They don't want to break up the Granlund line. And if you're not going to do either one of those two things, to me, the answer probably comes from outside, because I think they've tried everything else at this point. To me, if you're talking deadline additions that the Predators could make, I think that's going to be the way they go. I think they go looking for somebody to play with Ryan Johansson. And then the question becomes, all right, well, what price are you willing to pay in order to acquire a player who can do that? That's an interesting spot that they're in.
Yeah, it is. It's like, I get it for sure. But how much is that tied to, the Forsberg? Like if they get Forsberg done next week, okay? And I just it just feels to me like it's gonna have to get closer before it's like, okay, it's like, both sides a little bit more motivated. Like, not that not motivated, but both sides a little bit more willing to come into the middle a little bit. But let's say they get it done a little bit earlier than right before the deadline, and the team, and the team's playing really well. Then to me, it makes it a lot easier to do something like this. You got it locked up. You know that you got Forsberg. You have him the rest of the year, but you know that that's just something you don't have to worry about. Now you're looking at, okay, just focus on this year now. You're set for the future. The summer is the summer. You may have, you may be able to add something else, but now, okay, now you, it's okay to try to, if you're playing well too during this time and you're feeling good about your positioning, you're definitely going to, you feel more and more secure about being in the playoffs. I mean, I think it's easier to make a move like that. If you're uncertain with Forsberg, and you may be essentially counting him as a rental for the rest of the year and hoping you sign him this summer, do you mortgage something away for another piece? Like, it's still, to me, they can win. You're right. Like, there's nobody in the Western Conference where I'm like, they could, there's no way they could win that series. But they also would, like, at this point, probably be not favored to win any series they start out in, So how do you assess the risk reward on that?
Well, and also, I mean, I think they feel really good about Granlund's line and Sissons' line to the point where they don't want to break it up. How much more dangerous does it make your team if you find somebody that can click with Johansson? And look, that's not always as easy as going out. I mean, we know this. Adding people at the deadline doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work, right? I mean, we've seen that happen time and time again here, where you add pieces at the deadline and it just doesn't work out. So, I mean, you could go out, give up a third rounder, bring somebody in to play with Johansson, and it not go well. But I feel like if this team has a chance, like if you think this team has a chance to make some noise in the playoffs, to me, that part of the equation is essential. Like, you got to find somebody that can play with him, because right now, he's playing really well. He's generating a lot on his own. He's generating on the power play. But 5-on-5, like, for a player whose job it is and who I think really thrives at, being a load to play against physically and getting other people the puck, he doesn't have a whole lot of people to get the puck to right now. And I think Tomasino could be that guy one day. I don't think he's quite there yet. I don't think, quite frankly, that Luke Cunning is a top six forward. I think he's probably better served as your third line type guy on this team
with the third line being what it is, it would probably be a fourth line type guy based on Janot, Sissons, and Trennan being together. But I think you've got to find somebody that can play with Johansson. And if you can do that and you've got three lines that you feel really good about five on five, to me, that makes you feel way different about your chances to make some noise in the playoffs than you do right now. Like, I feel like they need another guy there.
No, I get it. And the thing with Johansson, so he's got 24 goals. You know, he's got good numbers. I mean, 37 points, 50 games. If he were playing with both or one of like Duchesne and Forsberg, his numbers would flat out be better, right? Yeah. And it's not about, it's about finding your best combination. Like, I'm not saying they should do that. I'm just saying, like, Johansson is he's always going to be someone probably you're like, if you just shot the puck a little bit more and look for your own a little bit more, it would benefit you. But yep, as a playmaker, as someone who sees the ice and sets people up, he's tremendous. And the way he's playing this year, if he had one of those guys, he'd have, I don't know how many more, but he'd have more assists. You know, he'd have more of a hand and more scoring. So I agree. Like, if you could get to the point where you have three lines, different kinds of lines, but still lines that the opponent has to worry about, that's a great thing to have in a playoff series.
Ryan on Twitter says, what about Thomas Hertl from the Sharks? I feel like he could be a good fit with Rijo. We've heard a lot of Hertl being tossed out there. We'll get a firsthand look at him coming up later this week. You know, in theory, it sounds great. The price for him is going to be high. Like, he's a, he's a rental player. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year. You know, he's a really good player out there in San Jose, but you're not getting, I mean, at least I don't think you are, you're not getting a Thomas Hertl type player for a second rounder or a third round. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's got 22 goals, 42 points in 54 games. He could get a huge return for San Jose. So are you willing, if you're the Predators, to offer up a first round pick and at least another additional asset, be that another pick or be that another prospect? Like, are you willing to do that to bring in Hertl to play with Johansson and then probably lose him in the offseason? I don't know. Like, maybe you are. I kind of have my doubts the Predators are willing to do that.
Well, Hurdle's one of those guys who's going to be – I mean, there's going to be a bidding war for Hurdle, right?
Yes.
I mean, he's going to be one of those trading deadline names you hear with a bunch of teams that feel like they're contenders. And the problem with that is that means the price gets driven up. So it seems too rich for me for this team where they are. That's how I would look at that. I mean, he would be a real nice addition. There's no doubt about that. He's going to be a nice addition for somebody.
I got a text that says, just trade Tomasino and Cunning for McDavid, and you'll hoist the cup this year. And then he says that we need to be on the radio from 2 to 6, too. That spot's already spoken for. But, if David Poile could trade Philip Tomasino and Luke Cunning for Connor McDavid, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, you know how many – what percentage of shots you miss that you don't take.
That's true.
And thank you. We appreciate that. By the way, I did dress up on the show. For anybody who wasn't here earlier, I had a nice suit jacket on for Jared, but I had to take it off. I'll put it back on.
I look forward to the phone edition of Jared versus Joe later today. Going to be awesome.
I'll dress up for that too on my drive home, just so Jared feels better.
Kyle on the text line says, we've been saying for years that we are one guy away from greatness. That's why I'm so skeptical about signing Forsberg to a long-term deal. Why isn't he that guy? I don't really know what else y'all want Forsberg to do this year. Like, he's on pace right now to score 50 goals. Like, I don't really know what else you want him to do.
Take him away. Go the other side of that. Okay, so take him away.
Well,
then you're a step away from what?
It's not always as simple as just that guy. You know, Austin Matthews scores 50 goals every year. They have Mitch Marner and they have John Tavares. How's that worked out for Toronto come playoff time?
It's good.
They can't get out of the first round. And let me just tell you, right now, I think they'd be playing Tampa Bay in the first round. They're not getting out of that first round either. Like, it's not as simple as that.
Connor McDavid, he's pretty good. What have they done?
Yeah. He's been out of the first round one time in his career. I mean, it's way more complicated than that. Chad from Chattanooga texting in says, what would it take to get a rental like Giroux? Well, number one, you'd have to have Giroux want to come here because he's got control on wherever he goes. I think he's going to get traded from Philly and they finally started to start to talk about that. And, you know, the GM said that he met with Giroux the other day and they discussed kind of his future. Obviously he didn't go into detail there, but he wants to be a contender. The other thing to keep in mind with him is Giroux is at 993 career games played. I think he wants to finish at 1,000 with Philadelphia so he can play 1,000 games. So that's going to take him up like right close to the deadline. So it's going to be probably a right at a deadline move for Claude Giroux would be my guess. I don't know if the Predators are going to make it in there. Quite frankly, like that's, again, you're getting back into price at that point. Like how much are you willing to pay to go get somebody?
Yeah, I'm more of the yarn croak state of mind, but I guess that's consistent with me. But something like that. Yeah, something like that, at least.
Nick on Twitter says, you have the cap space for Phil Kessel. He's a rental, and the trade cost shouldn't be crazy. That's the one that's interesting to me. Like, we can get into the hurdles and the Giroux of the world. You know, Phil Kessel, he's not a spring chicken anymore, but he's also playing in Arizona. And they are just atrocious. He's only got 6 goals this year, but he's got 33 points in 53 games. Like, I don't think it would be a bad idea. If you could get Phil Kessel for a second or third round pick, if you're the Predators, would that be worth a flyer to see if he could play with Johansson? I don't hate that idea.
I'm sure Phil Kessel would love that idea.
Yes, he would.
No, I think that's I like that one. I like that one.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, live from Indianapolis, out at the NFL Combine. We'll look ahead to the Titans' availability today. What do we think is going to happen with John Robinson later? What sort of update can we expect on Harold Andrew? But we'll get into all that and your Titans' thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now, there are deals from everything from half off the Woodhouse Spa, half off dining at the Mainstay and Hard Rock Cafe, half off the Brooklyn Bowl, plus $50 free with a purchase of $100 in downtown dollars. You can check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit Little Guys Franchise. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bicycle Boy, who wants to weigh in. Bicycle Boy, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, fellas. I'll be real quick. I have seen enough of Tolvanen, I think, to come to the conclusion that he's probably a fourth-line player, maybe, but I think he would be an attractive trade piece, maybe him in a second- or third-round pick. And also, you got to keep in mind, we got guys in Milwaukee that could easily come up and be as productive as Tolvanen. What do you think about that?
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I mean, I don't think they're going to trade Tolvanen. I am not of the mindset yet of just punting on Elie Tolvanen. He's 22 years old, so that's something to keep in mind. Look, it's been disappointing. You know, I like a lot of what he's doing out there this year, but eventually, like, you got to score. Like, that's why he's here, is to score goals. So I get it. That's got to get better as he moves forward here. But I don't think they're going to trade him. Like, I don't think you've reached the point yet with Elie Tolvanen where you're trading him at this point. Now, is he ever going to be, you know, a consistent 30, 35 goal scoring guy like you thought he might be when you drafted him? Maybe not. Like, it's difficult for me to go there at this point. But again, he's also 22 years old.
Well, and you got to be careful with the, oh, there's a bunch of guys in Milwaukee who come up and, well, there's a reason they're in Milwaukee too. And a lot right. of people produce at the lower levels, and then all of a sudden it's a very different game up at the highest level. So I don't know that that's necessarily, I mean, there are some promising prospects.
Well, and there's,
who over time are going to, you know, threaten to be in this lineup, but no one's, you know, no one's banging down the door right now.
Well, no, and like, you know, we've heard, well, you know, what's wrong with Rocco, right? Like, Rocco's having a great season down in Milwaukee, and he is. But I think we also know that Rocco Grimaldi is not a top six forward in the NHL, right? I mean, I think we've seen, you know, there's been times where he could probably have played in the top six. And I'm not saying that if you put him on a line with Johansson, he couldn't produce. But I don't think that Rocco Grimaldi is the answer to the Ryan Johansson problem.
Yeah, I'm not ready to. I understand anyone watching Eli Tolvanen this year coming up with what Bicycle Boy just said there, but I still think it's early to make that judgment. Now, if it had been nothing but sort of underwhelming, you know, disappointing performances from him in his entire career, then it might be a little different. But it wasn't like he was just like good for a week last year.
Exactly. So I think I would still give Tolvanen some time on that front. And eventually you hope he is the guy playing with a guy like Ryan Johansson. That has not worked out so far this year. Joe Rexroad, you are live in Indianapolis today for the NFL Combine. What does your day consist of today as the Titans, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel talking later this morning? I believe, what is it, 11:45 Central when J-Rob talks?
Yeah, Central, 11:45 for J-Rob, 12:45 for Vrabel. Yeah, my day, very exciting, very glamorous. I'll be walking from the hotel over there and interviewing them with my recorder and then transcribing the interviews and then writing and getting my butt home as soon as possible. Today is a file ASAP and get on the road day.
Not hanging around Indy, huh?
No, honestly, I was really disappointed when I found out that they were talking today. I thought they were. I just had planned for them to talk yesterday because I'm covering the SEC women's tournament in Nashville this weekend, and you know today, of course, Vanderbilt plays at 11 a.m. So I wanted to be there to cover that game. It could be their last game of the season. So,
yep.
So I'm busting back, and then I can be around for the rest of the tournament.
I'm looking forward to seeing what J-Rob has to say about Harold Landry today, if anything. I wonder how much light gets shed on the Harold Landry contract negotiations with the tag window being open and obviously the Titans having to find a way to make his money work if he comes back. Whether that be a one-year deal, a long-term deal, I'm interested to see how this process plays out with Harold Landry because, to me, he's vital to come back next year to make that defense what it was. I know not everybody agrees with that, and not everybody expects to see him back. I don't know. Am I reading too much into the Ben Arthur take from earlier? It feels like to me Ben is skeptical as to how that's going to work.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think there's a little bit more of that in the air of skepticism and just questioning whether it's the right thing to do. You know, like we talked with TD's kind of down on the tag idea, because of that particular number this year is tough. I mean, if you tag Landry and that's all it is, and he's playing on the tag, it's tough to have 18.5 against the cap this year, given all the other circumstances with the cap, which does exist. I must keep reminding people. That's where it's like TD said, like you could do what they did with Derrick Henry. Tag, and then you try to make the long-term deal work, and then you can give yourself – you could end up with a much lower cap hit this year. But what if you don't, you know? I'm big in the camp of he's too important, and that collection of players was too good this year to disrupt it. And now I guess you could look at this either way, but to me and – what if Dupree, after a normal offseason, is really ready to rock next year? Then what do you have? Now, I suppose then that's where it's like, yes, but what if he is? Then he's great, and you still have Autry and Simmons, and now Rashad Weaver is ready to go, and you draft someone. I get it. I personally would not mess with that, though. I would try to make it work with Landry, and I would prioritize that, and then hope Dupree is that. And then you could be dominant rushing the passer. That's a great thing to have, a dominant pass rush.
It's a great thing to have. I mean, look, again, there are many reasons why you win a Super Bowl. Quarterback play is crucial. You need big plays and big moments from your passing game, your running game, big stops defensively. But think about the last two Super Bowl champions. Think about how important the pass rush was for LA in the second half against Cincinnati. And think about Tampa 2 years ago when they win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying it's the sole reason they were where they were, but it's a pretty darn important piece that, to have that pass rush. And when you have it, like the Titans now do, to me, it's tough to let that walk out the door.
The New York Giants won two Super Bowls as a slightly, you know, a decent team with a pretty good quarterback because of their pass rush. I mean, it's you can find a lot of examples. Yeah, there's a lot more to it, but if you have something there, what do people search for? Yes, number one, they're searching for quarterbacks, but they're searching for ways to stop the pass. They're searching for ways to pass the ball, and there's no better way to stop the pass than to cave that pocket in on a quarterback.
Nashville Predators in Bridgestone Arena appreciate and recognize military, first responders, and their families. Your company can help fund tickets for these heroes during Ford Military Week, which is the week of March the 7th. You can learn more about the Hero Salute Program at NashvillePredators.com/Military Week. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Like, I think it declasses the sidelines a little bit.
Yes, you are a very elitist when it comes to what coaches wear.
It's like a school dress code. You know what I mean?
I don't think it matters. If you want to wear a quarter zip, go for it, Will Wade. Go for it, Bruce Pearl.
How many, before we stop making the coaches wear suits, how many times we have coaches punching other coaches on the sidelines?
Oh.
How many?
What was Bobby Knight wearing when he threw a chair?
Bobby Knight doesn't wear suits.
He wore a suit.
No, he was a sweater guy. But, please answer my question, witness.
I don't believe any.
Okay.
But I don't think this is a trickle-down effect.
Ah, yes, the fashion police. Jared Stillman in full effect as Joe Rexrode tosses on really what is a spiffy-looking sport coat as we come back from break. Joe, you're looking great today.
Yeah, I probably could use a few more blazers, but I have this trusty navy blazer that I – bust out a lot when it's important big occasions like making Jared feel comfortable as he watches us on Zoom on YouTube.
Gator Tim on the text line says, I'm going to start wearing a three-piece suit on the sidelines of my peewee basketball games in honor of Jared Stillman. This coming from Gator Tim on the text line, to which my response was, somebody's got to be a hero, and today it's you, Gator Tim. Way to go.
I mean, maybe this is the answer to parents shutting up and leaving officials and coaches alone. You know, if
everybody just show up in a suit,
if it looked like a gala affair in the crowd, you know, like a cocktail party,
the Great Gatsby. Yeah,
exactly. Do that. Take your Gatorade and champagne glasses. Yeah. Amazing.
You know what was the best part on the Zoom? As the soundbite is playing and Jared's going on about the suits, Joe, you put your suit jacket on at the perfect time.
Oh, yeah.
And then you, like, adjusted it, and then he ended. It was perfect.
Well, I forgot. I forgot. I said that I was going to wear it at the end, and then when you started to play, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Got to put this back on here. Maybe I'll go over there. Maybe Vrabel will like his press conference a little better if we're dressed up for him, huh?
Look, this is a professional show. This is a professional team that we've got here on this program, and nobody highlights that better than Joe Rexrode. I don't think there's any question about it.
I second that, Rob.
There's no show in town that's going to dress up like we do, you know? Yeah.
Blazers at 6 a.m.
Wisconsin Badgers hoodie while you're in the suit. Good stuff.
So it's funny you say that. So when I got on the Zoom today, at first I thought that you were in a white cloth robe.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, whoa, man. Robbie's just coming straight out of the shower with the white robe on.
It's going Hugh Hefner action today on the program. Yeah, exactly. It's some real good stuff.
But it's not, so that's probably better than it's
we can do that in future times. Speaking of the Wisconsin Badgers, what a game last night between Purdue and Wisconsin. How about that? A little college basketball talk.
Insane. March 1st. What better way to start it, right, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Badgers with two bank shots late to win it. So they win it
whatever works.
Big 10. Yeah, yeah. Purdue's really good. Purdue, that program is just—it's the weirdest program, you know. Like it's by far the best program. And you know, Tennessee is actually in recent years moving into like at least the discussion here. But, I mean, Purdue is flat out the best program ever. That's like they haven't been to a Final Four in more than 40 years. Like over the years, they've won the Big Ten championships. They've had great teams. They've had high seeds. And, I mean, gosh, when they beat Tennessee a couple years ago, and that the loss that they had to Virginia – well, first of all, the win over Tennessee was insane. But the loss they had to Virginia when it was over, my goodness. But Carson Edwards, of course, just giveth and taketh away. But that program, it's incredible, like, that they have not gone to the Final Four. But anyway, Tennessee, are they the greatest program that's never been to a Final Four? What are the best programs –
programs.
Very nice. That have never Michelle been to a Final Southern Four
before our very eyes. It's good stuff. Way to go, Michelle.
Thanks, guys. I'm trying.
Yeah. Chris on the text line says, "I'm glad to hear Joe is okay. I just assumed Indy was actively burning due to the Carson Wentz talk. I can't wait to hear this awful press conference at 11:45 from J. Rob."
Wait, who is this?
Chris on the text line.
Is Chris a Colts fan?
No.
Okay.
He just knows that you're an Indy. And the car, look, like as you said, if you had any doubts that Carson Wentz wasn't going to be the quarterback of the Colts, I think those are now gone. Like Frank Reich is like, I'm sure he's got some good quarterback play left in him. We'll see where that is. It could be in, the CFL, but he's got some good quarterback play left in him.
Yeah, he's got some good quarterback play. I'm not sure like what league or what city, but yeah, like a Frank Reich and I mean, ultimately, Frank Reich doesn't make the call. But, I mean, when your owner comes right out and starts throwing haymakers at your quarterback,
it's not good.
You're probably going to be a trickle-down on that. But the Colts, like if – again, I would say it's probably worth – if you can get if you make Jimmy G happen, okay, then to me, okay, that's worthwhile. If you are committed to you're finding there's someone that you want in this draft, okay. If you're actually like Mitch Trubisky, that name, I cannot believe. I mean, Field Yates, I would love to think that Field Yates is acting on some kind of information there and not just throwing it out there because, my gosh, that would be hilarious.
Is Field Yates there? Is he at the combine?
I honestly, I don't know. I've never met Field Yates.
You need to find him. First off, he's like, I don't know how old Field Yates is, but he looks like he's about 15, which is good for him. He's 34. Good looking guy.
All right, let me look at it. Let me look. Yeah, see, the Field Yates Twitter bio just has this cartoon thing. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's so many football dorks here walking around, like bumping into each other. I mean, it's like the Minions, you know? I mean, I don't know who the hell's here.
Well, I was going to say, if you find him, you need to interview him. Like, get his thoughts on Mitch Trubisky. Because if that's the quarterback of the Colts, it's going to be a good day here in Nashville. Maybe if Mitch Trubisky is the quarterback of the Colts, I will record a sweaty workout video like Jared did last year.
Yes, Robbie.
I will do one with Mitch Trubisky.
But do it with a tie on. Classy touch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tank top and a tie.
Yeah. Really look good on that one.
I'll ask around today to see if Fields around. If he is, I will absolutely ask him that question.
More likely to be a starting quarterback next year, almost said Field Yates. Mitch Trubisky or Marcus Mariota?
That's a great question. I'm going to say Mitch.
Okay.
Because, look, I mean, there is something to, as much as I want to say, yeah, everybody pump the brakes, there is something to all the positive buzz about how he looked in practice in Buffalo and all this stuff. Buffalo saying, yeah, we're probably not be able to keep him. I feel like somewhere he has a little bit better chance than Mariota. As much as I'd love to see Mariota get a shot, I think Mitch is still younger in his career arc and probably be the one to get that chance. How about Mitch and Mariota together somewhere?
Well, could be. I mean, I thought we might see that a couple of years ago in Chicago, but it was not to be. It would be a very Chicago.
That's where he should have gone.
It really is. It would be a very Chicago Bears thing for Trubisky to go like be the starting quarterback of the, I don't know, like he replaces Baker Mayfield in Cleveland and he just goes and lights it up. It'd be amazing.
You'd love that, wouldn't you?
You know, he's 29 and 21 as a quarterback. That's all I'm saying. 29 and 21.
Could be worse.
Wins are a quarterback stat.
I mean, Mitch and Indy, I got to ask around on that too today. Like, I'm just going to ask like fans on the street as I walk to the convention center, like, what do you think about Mitch Trubisky? Yeah,
give me your thoughts on Mitch Trubisky as Colts quarterback. Could you make some room for that Peyton Manning statue out there? Just make sure it's got enough room around it so Mitch can go right there next to him.
Manning, Luck, Trubisky. The tradition continues.
Yo, Rex Road, have a wonderful time at the Underwear Olympics known as the NFL Combine today. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good day, everybody.
That's right. That does it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.